Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guns.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have for LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada.
It's good to be on. It's been a while since we've been out here. This is your host, John Almada, on Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. And I'm just recovering from a day of working outside. We were out cutting wood and from all the tree damage we had in October in the October storms. And not only that, we hadn't been able to really get out there because I had H1N1. Along with my mother, who lives on the property next door. So between the two of us, we were quite a sight. A 50-year-old man and a 70-year-old woman were out hauling wood around. So anyway, we got that taken care of, and everything burned off. And I didn't have much planned in the way of a guest coming on. We decided to do this show not on our normal Sunday or Friday because of various things going on. So I moved the show to Sunday. And had a lot of time to think about some things that needed to be caught up with. So this show is going to be a little different format, and we're going to talk about a whole range of things, and I think some of it you may find interesting. And we have my buddy Kathy, so I'm going to say hi to you, and thank you so much for having me on your show yesterday. That was a lot of fun, and Spence and I were just laughing a lot. We had a great time on there, so all I can say is I want to do it again. It was a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, right after that, Spencer and I finished out, you know, basically our case that we were working on. We isolated the haunt to this particular home to two stories, and they were one right over the top of the other, and it was really interesting. So we're going to be going back to that site at the end of the month. That's going to be November 28th, we're going to be doing our overnight investigation there. And to tell you a little bit about that case, oh, yeah, I'll call you back, Kathy. But and I'll have you on, too. I've got some time scheduled for you, so you and I are going to have to talk about that. But you know, number one, I'm also sitting here. This is kind of a different take for me. I usually am in the studio in front of my polished mixer, and I've got a real snazzy setup, and right now I'm on a laptop and a recliner with a cell phone, getting back to the old days when I first started out here at Blog Talk. So anyway, this case this case that we're going on November 28th is going to be pretty interesting. There's all sorts of phenomena occurring, everything from knocking at 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 in the morning to people whispering in people's ears to outright touching and also full-blown manifestations of ghosts right in front of people. The wife of this one individual in the case involved turned around in her office to witness a full-blown manifestation. Looking at her, it was a man in blue clothing, and he disappeared after several seconds. But you know, this woman is a reliable witness, so we were very impressed with what we saw. Right after that, as a matter of fact, we found on Google Earth a defunct Titan One missile base nearby, so we decided to hop in the car and head over and take a look at that. So we walked around this completely abandoned, defunct, chain-link fenced base and got a pretty good close look at it, and we're pretty impressed by what we saw. I mean, it was a relic of the Cold War. So a combination of going out and doing some paranormal investigation and then a little bit of checking out stuff from 30 years back. So we did that. Damn Yankee, that's right. I'm a damn Yankee. Well, hey, you got to give me a break. I was born from as far west of south as you can get, Kathy. I was born in El Paso, Texas. So, you know, my dad worked at White Sands. So, you know, I'm kind of southern. I just happened to move here to California when I was 3 years old. So, anyway, we're going to be doing a 90-minute show as usual. And just to give you some news, too, I'm going to finish out this Friday block of shows that runs into February. And we've decided to go ahead. We've had our schedule float around as we look for an ideal day to do these shows in addition to our other pastime, which is paranormal investigation. So we're going to be moving back to our original slot sometime in February to Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. Pacific. And that's actually going to be a relief because we had to try out and see what days fit. So we floated from Friday to Saturday to Sunday, and that's going to be coming up. So we'll be reminding people off and on. We got a big load of guests coming in. You know, we've been busy getting them slotted up and everything. So there's going to be everything from authors to psychics to you name it is going to be here. Even people that are not quite paranormal are going to be on, but they're going to be talking about things that have paranormal relations, shall we say. And I think it'll help a lot of people. It's kind of be a little more of a potpourri kind of a show, but more often than not, it's going to be paranormal exclusively. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about some tonight about some of our cases and observations, things of the paranormal we've been dealing with in the last 2 months. We're going to be doing some talk a bit about some of the some things I've seen that I have some challenges for you to think about. But before I get into that, let me go back here in the show notes here. And if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-0377. So you can give us a call, and I'll be watching the chat or the line here to see if anybody calls in. And we're going to go ahead and pop on into a couple of questions. I'm going to talk first about legal disclosure of haunted properties. Someone, and I don't remember who, and I wish I did remember, but someone recently asked me about the fact that if you had to disclose that a home was haunted before you sold it in a real estate market, and I didn't know the answer to that question. I was kind of like, well, I've heard of that before, but I didn't know anything about it. And on the GRI homepage for tonight, there is that link. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pop that into the I'm going to grab that link. And it's actually LegalZoom, of all things, had this article. So I'm going to grab this and pop it into the chat room. And it's also on our homepage. And I'm going to put it out there for all to see. And that's sure, there it is. So there's the article on it. And what was interesting was the article says it's by a woman named Susan Funaro. And Google disclosure, must home sellers disclose paranormal activity? And I'll zip down to the part where it talks about California, since that's where I live. Death on a property may be material. In California, the Association of Realtors addressed the issue of death disclosure requirements. Civil Code 1710.2 states death on a property need not be disclosed if it occurred more than 3 years prior to the sale. The statute does require disclosure of a death more than 3 years old if the buyer asks. It does not state whether a death within 3 years must be disclosed, but many brokerage firms have supplemental disclosure forms that specifically inquire about death. And to avoid liability, it is recommended that the seller disclose if a death occurred within the last 3 years and let the buyer decide. And some states have even gone further, requiring home sellers to disclose stigmas, and it's in quotes, stigmas, attached to a property, which can include proximities to homeless shelters or whether it was the scene to a violent crime. Now, it didn't get into, I'm going to go down here. Let me see. Further down in there, according to a study by two business professors at Wright University, the supernatural stigma associated with houses where murder or suicide have occurred can take 50% longer to sell at an average of 2.4% less than comparable homes. Yet a California appraiser who specializes in diminution and value issues says that a well-publicized murder generally lowers the selling price by 15 to 35%. So it doesn't say much here as far as I can read about the effect of an active haunt on the property. I think I'll have to read it a little further, but I just found this before showtime. So what I did also find, though, was there was another link on our page where I got thinking, well, if it's a stigma, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And so what got me thinking was, well, is there somebody actually specializing in selling haunted properties? And sure enough, thanks to the magic of Google, and I see in Virginia it's a law to disclose that a home is haunted before purchase. Yeah, so I think that these kind of things all are out there. But, you know, the thing that's scary is the government and the science community are pretty much in cahoots to say that this stuff doesn't exist for the most part or ridicule it. And yet they have statutes on the books that talk about this. And so in a passing light, they're saying, yeah, this stuff exists. Now, if we paranormal, teams are out there investigating, these sites and are doing these, missions out there, to go disclose that the home is haunted or not, is it our word, just our word without any certification or anything that just says, yes, a site is haunted or not? You're basically taking unlicensed investigators and putting them in the position of making a legal decision. So this could have a lot of implication down the road. It's actually kind of a back-channel way of affecting we who do this business of going out and doing investigation, and it may end up causing quite a change in paranormal investigation. So I just saw that, and it got me thinking. But here's the link for the Haunted Real Estate blog, and it's by a woman named Mary Pope Handy, and I'm going to pop that in here. Here we go. And so it's out on www.hauntedrealestateblog.com/WordPress, and they've got all kinds of properties out here, and there's tie-ins with every sort of property you can imagine, including one by one of my guests that's upcoming. I was surprised. I had I'm not going to say which property it is, but let's just say that I had seen that this property was for sale, and it was a big selling feature, and then I happened to see the same property on this page. So evidently this is getting quite a bit of use, and a lot of people who are out there, it's got everything from stigmatized properties, haunted hotels, ghost tours, local Silicon Valley haunts, and I wonder if they even talk about haunted businesses like the one that I work in, which, yes, we do have a haunted business that I work in. So it's very interesting stuff here. I tend to think it's going to be an interesting time in the future if legalism catches up with all of this, and it's not a passing thing in the night that, that was just an aberration and when paranormal finally settles down a bit after all this attention it gets, will this continue to be something that people look at? So I don't know, but I have a feeling paranormal is going to be around for a while. It's just so interesting. So we'll see there. Now, I had kind of moving into the next phase of the show here. There's basically, I'm gonna challenge you guys. Number one, I had a passing thought when I was out stacking wood today, and I just wanted to see what people think and to get you to toss that over at whether you're on the chat room or you listen to the show in archive. Think about this and write me a letter back as to what you your answer is on this. And the question is, I've been watching a lot of these paranormal shows, and in my own experience also, in many cases I've been on, spirits have a habit of showing up and peeking around a corner, or you see them and they run away. And they'll apparate in front of you, and then boom, they're gone. So it's almost like a anywhere from a few seconds to a few minutes exposure, and then they disappear. Now, I don't know, if I'm probably not the first to ask this, why do they do that? And is it something that there's, when I'm out on investigations, I hear people complain about that, and most recently on USS Hornet, we heard that, and the thing that I was stunned by was it always is the same thing, that people are thinking more from their own view of why are they running from us? Why are they running from human beings? And the question that occurred to me today when I was out, pulling this cart full of wood down a big hill and nearly killing myself. Hi, Karen. Hey, good to see you. And I got all your emails with all your funny stuff. I've been laughing my tail off at the stuff Karen sends to me. It's great. Anyway, I was lugging this whole peck of wood down to stack it and to let it dry out, and from the trees that fell in this last storm. And I was considering this question of why do ghosts run away, and what's this thing about, do they have like a Congress on the other side that has a law that says, yea, verily, you will not stay close to a ghost hunter or to a prospective living entity and run away at the first sign that they recognize you? Is it like a game, or do they just have this law, that's similar to, the kinds of things we do in real life here? So I keep wondering, why this happens. Well, I dumped the wood off, and I turned around, and all of a sudden it struck me. It's like, well, wait a minute. What about considering their point of view? And I suddenly realized, behavior in our world is usually stimulated by two things, pain or pleasure. So if a ghost is running away from you because, you see it and become aware of it and move towards it, is the fact that maybe we cause them pain and they have to build up a tolerance to be near us, or it shows a lot of courage for them to come up to us? Maybe there's got to be something that's driving that behavior. And I know I'm kind of extrapolating here, but it's interesting because you start to think, well, do they, I haven't actually asked a ghost recently, but I am going to on EVP, is do you feel pain? Do you, why do you guys run away? I'm just going to start asking these questions because this is the kind of stuff that I think when you are out on an investigation, you should ask, yourself, and then write it down when, if you're not sure you can find the answer out on Google, which most often you can, but if you can find that answer, thanks, Kathy. But it's just one of those things. I think that if you could get them to talk about life from their perspective, what their lives are like, and why they do what they do, it would be very enlightening. So I'm kind of putting that challenge out there to ask people to do that. And maybe somebody out there does have the answer. Maybe they've got some enlightenment to offer on that. So I'm going to see if I can find more about that in some of the literature out there. And a friend of mine I met on USS Hornet when I was out there with Karen. There was a doctor there, and I cannot remember her name for the life of me, but she was selling a really good book that I never read that I've got here. And it talked about, that was her expertise, is that it talked about how they see it on the other side. So that's actually, I just thought of that just as we're doing the show here. I think that's going to be, if I can't get it out of the book, I'm going to go ahead and write her a letter and see what she has to say. Now, let me see. Second question. Now, I was watching an edition of UFO Hunters the other night, and they were basically covering these UFO Foo Fighter type things, where you know the kinds of things I'm talking about. They're the glowing balls of light that are often seen in proximity to UFOs, and they'll be like a mothercraft, and then four or five balls of light will come flying out, and they go all different directions, and then they'll return, and they merge with the craft, and thing shoots off, and off it goes. And what was funny was these UFO hunter guys called up, this was in Arizona, and they basically called on a local team. Actually, I think it was Arizona. It might have been east, far further east, but for all purposes, let's just say Arizona. Anyway, they called these guys, and is this phone still hooked up? Yep, we're still good. Hope you guys can still hear me. So they called up a local paranormal research group and joined forces with them and decided to basically take the light sensing gear, the different camera gear that is more appropriate for paranormal investigation with that kind of stuff, and basically combine that with a UFO investigation, and because there were such similarities. And the commonality is we keep seeing these balls of light / orbs between the two of us. And the question is, are these things, they don't necessarily need to be the same, but we can do investigations with UFO groups that are complementary because our equipment can see a lot of the same things together. But then it stimulates the question, what are these balls of light? I mean, are these things like probes? You know, if it's a UFO thing, I mean, when you see UFOs, basically, the standard case, you know, you'll see something where somebody says, oh, well, I saw a UFO, you know, and it came from the west, and then three balls of light shot out and went different directions, and 10 minutes later, the thing hovered, and they all returned. And, you know, given my IT background, I got looking at that, you know, that question today, and I thought, well, wow, that's actually more like that these things are probes. So you would send one of these things out, you know, and give it a mission, and do the same with multiple others, and just wait around, and then these things come back, and you know, you download the data, and you've got everything you need. So whatever their purpose is, you know, that seems to be the kind of thing that you would see, the behaviors we have with certain of our electronic gear and things we do. So you know, you wonder about that, but at the same time, this year, for example, we had cases where we had sightings of blue orbs in Nevada, and also we had one in downtown Placerville, good-sized, multiple-inch across blue orbs, sighted by two of my team, and always in within a matter of a minute or two or three, we would have a full-blown manifestation or a paranormal phenomena would occur. That was very notable that the whole team noted. So this is the kind of stuff that you know you're looking for. Is to try to understand is, you know, what are these things? Can we classify them on some scale and be able to look at the whole graded set of phenomena for these orbs and be able to at least cooperate with UFO folks and be able to separate the two? And not only that, just try to understand it. So one of the things I'm planning, and I got looking at this, and I'm going to try to have enough money left over to do this in 2010, is I'm going to try really hard to get a longer vacation than usual and take the GRI trailer, which should be done, and do a tour of the from California all the way down to Arizona and back. It'll be a speed run, but basically we're going to be hitting every site we can that would have maybe some similar phenomena for both, perhaps even paranormal phenomena and UFO activity. But I'm not going to turn down a good haunted site, trust me. Okay, I'm going to see. If aliens are more advanced technically and spiritually, then maybe they're more in touch with ghosts. Now, that's a very good point. And that's kind of why I'm looking at it really hard, because who knows, maybe an alien ship shows up and ghosts, you know, are attracted to it, and maybe they're willing to talk together. It's hard to say. I mean, that's actually a very valid idea. I never considered that. So that's why we're talking about it on this show. Anyway, so that's basically the second challenge question, is to get people to think about that. And I kind of had a third question, but I didn't put it in the show notes here, but I'll throw it out there. We keep talking about in this whole business of you know, paranormal phenomena and UFOs and that kind of thing, we keep talking about these different things, shadows, orbs, that kind of thing. And, you know, as a scientist myself, I'm used to seeing, you know, I'm not a biologist by any means, but in biology there are scientific, you know, names and families and, you know, phyla and different things like that for, and trees, for taking life forms and saying, this belongs here, this belongs there, and it's a categorization scheme. So the question would be, would it be possible to do the same thing with paranormal phenomena and take, okay, what types of ghosts are out there? Okay, break that down to shadow person, you know, half torso, you know, have it, you know, how tall are they? And break these down almost into species, if you will. So somebody has had to have done this. I can't be the first person to have come up with this idea, but I've never seen that anywhere in all the copious books I have, of which I have many. I've never seen an actual scientific breakdown of this stuff. So I'm kind of throwing it out there, you know, because number one, I want to see if anybody responds and tells me, oh yeah, it's in this book, and here's where you look. If not, and I'm the first to think about it, which I don't think I am, then somebody's out there as an expert and goes, hey, that's a great idea. Let's put it out in the book. So, you know, that's the kind of thinking going on in my limited intelligence. I'm just a small little programmer out there trying to figure out what's going on and why I have ghosts in the house and, you know, go from there. So, anyway, we're coming up on 8:27. We'll give it a couple more minutes, talk about a few things, and then 8:30 we'll do a quick break. I'll grab some water and be right back, and we'll do that. We are going to talk in the next segment about basically some of the paranormal movies going on, and one is actually a comedy thing, and then a couple of others here are, I'm just going to ask everybody if they've seen this, any of these. And I'll kind of jump ahead and talk about two that I've heard some goings on about. Number one, Men in Black. There may be a third Men in Black movie in production. So I haven't heard too much more than I saw it in passing earlier this week. So if anybody knows about that, definitely you know, check into it, because I really loved both Men in Black movies. And it's good to see that maybe they're going to come back with that. Also, just to reconfirm, and I've talked about it on a past couple of shows, is Ghostbusters 3 is going to be definitely back in production real soon, if not already, and so that's going to be going on. Other news, I just caught this today as I was going through Twitter. I'll say that again, Twitter. I was on Hornet with in July, I think it was, or September, with Kristen Gartland and Chip Coffee, and it was September 5th, and I had actually hunted a little bit with Kristen, and it turned out she is getting married, so congrats to Kristen Gartland of Taps, and saw that on Chip Coffee's Twitter page today, so he's out in Minneapolis freezing his cabooty off, so he's had a heck of a time, poor Chip. He travels so much, the poor guy. Yeah, we're going to talk about paranormal activity. So you know what? We're going to go ahead and break here, Karen, and then maybe, yeah, this is the stuff I need to know, because I haven't paid good money yet to go see it. So kind of the selfish thing I had on the show for was so I could find out what was worth seeing. So anyway, hey, it's coming up on the break, and I'm going to go ahead and do a bit of fun music. Let's do something fun. We'll do the Bigfoot Boogie, you know, Bigfoot Boogie. And we'll be back in just a short few minutes, and I'll have some water, and my voice will be rested, which it's all back to better now. I feel a lot better. This H1N1 was not a lot of fun, and I'm almost done coughing, so I'll be back to my funky old self. I'm out hauling wood, so that's a good sign. So anyway, we'll be back in a couple of minutes and continue on with the show, and it's good to see you guys out there. Two of my favorite people, Karen and Kathy, are here. And for those of you out there listening, feel free to drop in on the chat room or give us a call if you want to talk more about your paranormal experiences at, if I can find the show. Oh, here it is, 646-478-0377. So with that said, let's take our break, and we'll be right back.
Wants what you think I've seen, something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Falls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp. He's running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's playing the bass, and he'd be partying all over the place. Old Gator Ralphie's riding his bow, and he'd be jamming with Marcus and Joe. A Sasquatch doing a brand new dance. The Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo Land. Do the Bigfoot Boogie. Yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie. Ain't nothing but a Sasquatch dancing around it. Do the Bigfoot Boogie. Sound with a whole lot of noise, something shaking the ground. I crept in the swamp where they were getting down. Do the Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo Ground. Do the Bigfoot Boogie. Oh, yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie. Doing the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Walls. Eddie the Lizard, be a beating the drums. Yeah, the Moccasin George, he's running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's a playing. Partying all over the place, yeah. Old Gator Ralphie, he's a rotten foe, and he'd be jamming with Marcus and Joe. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, he called Bigfoot Boogie in the Paraloo Land. Do the Bigfoot Boogie, doing the Bigfoot Boogie, chomp, chomp, yeah, Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Swamp.
Oh my God, Bigfoot Boogie! I love songs about Bigfoot. I don't know what it is, but so hey, yeah, hi Mike, good to see you on there, and welcome to our show this night. And we're doing a kind of a general show about all sorts of things. I've been off the air for about 3 weeks, just kind of recovering from H1N1. So got my friends here, and we're gonna press on. Yeah, we were talking about all sorts of paranormal questions, but hey, we've got this one thing. We're going to be talking about some of the paranormal movies that have been out, and I basically collected three that I knew of. Number one, Paranormal Activity. I have not seen that yet, and you two guys, Kathy and Karen, jumped right on ahead of me and told me, yeah, it was good to see. So I'm going to definitely catch myself a date, and if Karen will come up, I can take her out to go see it. Anyway, we could go see that, and then I would love to see that, because I get scared, even though I'm a team lead and I do paranormal investigations. So I definitely want to see that. And I guess, Mike, I got the shot. Okay. You got a shot? What kind? You got something to drink? Yeah, and the fourth kind, they're actually showing, now the fourth kind just came out, and it's evidently about alien abduction, and they show, I guess, actual footage from some of these sessions that this psychologist did in Nome, Alaska, that basically show the dramatization of the actual, you know, activity that these people were reporting in the psychologist's office. And I guess the actual images and film that this psychologist filmed in the office also are played side by side. And there were some people that were basically kind of panning that when I read the reviews today, and they were going, oh, it took away from it. And they gave it really low marks against Paranormal Activity. So I kind of trust, you know what, I really look at what reviewers say, and I take it with a grain of salt, and I like to listen to more of what people actually think for themselves about these sorts of movies. So it sounded to me like they're both good to see, and the fourth kind is probably, just based on what I saw on TV with the some of the clips that they were showing, it looked pretty friggin' freaky to me. Anyway, there's also a comedy paranormal movie coming out, and that I think either it's out or it will be out. It's George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats. And basically, it kind of points out and makes kind of lampoons the whole military paranormal experimentation phase. I guess it went on in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and probably on into the current day. But it basically, the gist of it is that these guys are just about ready to lose their jobs or something like that. And George Clooney shows that he can actually stare at a goat, knock it over with his mind. And they developed this whole, story around that. So it looks really impressive. And then there's a whole, they weave a whole story around it. So I think I'd like to see that just to laugh. I mean, it did get some interesting reviews. It's kind of a mix, but it'd be worth a look. Oh, I heard. Oh, you heard about the real guy? So was that real? That a guy can knock down goats with his mind? On Coast to Coast? You saw that on Coast to Coast, Karen? I'm waiting to see if she pops back with an answer there. Okay, I'm going to have to learn more from you on that. So if we can find the, I'll have to find out more about who that guy is. I want to have him on. Oh, fading goats. That's probably what they did. They imported these fading goats. And yeah, those goats actually have like a strange mutation. So he was real. I'll be darned. I learn something new every day. You guys all know about it, and I don't. So, hey, way to go. I mean, that's that's interesting. I thought it was all made up. I really did. Staring at goats and knocking them over, that's a new talent. I think we're all going to have to work on that. Okay. Didn't like them. They didn't kill them, though. Well, that's good to know. You know, in Greece, that would have been a great way to just go out in the herd and get dinner. anyway, you got me laughing now. I did have some things have been happening with our team. Number one, out here, I go through psychics like I go through paper. It's terrible. We lost, you know, my main psychic here in the group, Christine B. She moved out to the East Coast, out towards Ohio. And moved out there a couple months back, and she's all established now and settled in for winter and all that. And she is doing well, but I missed the heck out of her because she was just such a good friend to have along on different hunts and stuff. So she's staying in touch, and she's still on the team. I just went ahead and said, let's have an easternmost empire of, you know, Ghost Rider Investigations East. So GRI-E. Is out there, and she keeps in touch with me and writes articles for us. So, one of these days we're going to actually get a group out there and go out there and hunt some Ohio cases with her, because she's already tied in and just having a bang-up time over there with all the groups that operate out there, and evidently they've got a lot of haunts going out there, so kudos to Ohio and everything they do. My good friend Renee Martin, who we had on the show a couple months back, she had actually been along on two of our investigations and surprised us with a sudden move to Los Angeles. And she's a heck of an interesting lady. She's rock solid. When you go out on an investigation, she's the calmest one in the room, and just absolutely on track with everything that needs to happen. And she's a total asset to any group that she's going to be in. So I wrote a few letters of introduction to some folks down south to try to introduce her around and hopefully give her a hand. And I'm going to do a little extra tonight for her. She is a pretty good phone reader, and she's also a paranormal site designer for websites, and one hell of a good designer. And this is coming from somebody. This is my profession. I do web design and web coding. So when I saw what she had done, it was really well done. So I'm going to just give a couple of sites out here. She's got one that her main site where she does all of her things out is called www.sacredheartcore.net. So I'm going to copy that link. And it's also on the main webpage for tonight for the GRI website. And I just challenge you to get a look at it. Very well done. There will be music that plays when you go in, but it's it's kind of like her sites are like walking into your massage therapist, and they've always got the music playing, and you are like, wow, I'm really relaxed, man. So when you go in there, you expect, I'd like to just, come home and put her site on and just listen to it. That's how nice it is. So she's very, she just puts together a really good production for websites and the way she's done it. She also really surprised me. She had a second site she had just put up when I first met her, and it's turned out to be very successful for her. And what it is it's a social networking site that she designed, and it doesn't try to have every bell and whistle in the book. If there's anything I hate as a web designer, I hate going in and seeing a website that's absolutely jam-packed full of all sorts of things now, except for my own, which is jam-packed full of things. But I'm doing that because it's an operating website, and now I'm making excuses, but that's the truth. There's just so much in there I've got to put it all in. But when you're trying to, for the mission she's doing for a social networking site, less is more with those sorts of sites, and that's just a professional opinion. So when you go out to her site, you'll kind of notice the focus is on certain things, and it's just a very peaceful place to go and interact with other paranormal folks. And same kind of thing, I think it plays music the minute you get in, and she has a thing you can shut it off and just surf in peace if you want the sound off. So go check that out. I'm going to go ahead, and it's the address for that is selectivespirit.ning.com, and she just does a bang up job with that. So go ahead and check that out, and I just highly recommend it. It's good stuff. Now, I'm also going to share something I designed for a lot of folks here who are into EVP. It's funny. I'm going to say something about EVP. You hear people use the word EVPs versus EVP. I found out that on the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena, EVP, which I'm a member of now. Hey, cool, Karen. I think you liked him. But I found out that the proper term is EVP, even though you want to say EVPs. And I guess for those people who like to be English correct with the English, they are. They brought that up on their site, so I guess it was a sticking point for them. I say EVPs all the time, and anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that I'm aware of that, but I'm going to continue to say EVPs. So I just thought it was an interesting point to bring up, and somebody may down the road mention that to you, and you could say you heard it here. What we did speak, since I brought up EVPs and EVP, one of the things that we do is that's pretty much our stock and trade specialty is we do a lot of EVP work. We have all the toys you can possibly name for our investigations and things like that. But I kept getting questions when I was out in the field and also by other team members. They really were looking for a guide to help them understand EVP. And when I would go to pull stuff off the net, I couldn't find exactly the way I wanted to teach it. So I wrote my own. I basically cobbled together a whole lot of sources I found and just did the gratuitous cut and paste of, and then named the sources so I would be, street legal with it. But the bottom line is we were able to produce a document that we're going to be just keeping up to date. And it has kind of a summary of all the possible phenomena that you can, with the EVP, it talks about types of EVP, the classification systems, a few of our own terminologies we use here in GRI, has links to the software that you can get, including free links to Audacity, which we use for quite a few of our. I use it here on all my stuff. I don't pay for that software. If it's free, it's out there on the web. I'm going to use it, and I convert all my stuff to MP3s. So we're probably going to enhance that with how to design your, how to actually do clips, and extractions of EVPs from a master session that you're running. I did pay some attention on how to design your EVP library so that you can properly do it because I have expertise in designing tape library systems. So I basically run things like I would professionally. Did that a long, long time ago before my webmaster career. That's what I did quite a bit of, and I used to translate data tapes and telemetry and things like that. So it was just natural to do that. So I'm sharing a little bit of that expertise in there in this document. So out on the main webpage for us on the GRI site, you will see a link to that, but I'm going to also post it here in the chat room, and it's going to be right there. And it'll when you pop that link up, it'll throw up a little question probably on your browser, and it'll show you a PDF that comes down. And just download that, and you've got yourself an instant guide with everything you need to know. And feel free to critique it, too. This is the first version. So, come back at me and tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me I got something right or you want to see something changed, and we'll fold that into the next version, and I'll just keep updating it. So. I think it's going to be a helpful tool. I showed it around, and Christine, before she left, I had been pretty much working on it. And she was really excited to see that. She hadn't seen anything quite like that out there. So I think that's going to be helpful, and we'll promote that more off and on as the shows, in future shows. So that's what's going on there. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed some stuff going on with the paranormal shows out there, and every time I turn around, there's a new paranormal show. And on my TiVo, right in front of me here, my TiVo, I've got a search term for paranormal and ghosts. And and every time I turn around, I look, and I've got pretty much my whole TiVo is filled up with paranormal shows. That's all I got. And I'm just amazed at what's coming in. Hey, yeah, you're welcome, Kathy. I hope you like that. Feel free to share that link, too, because, it's really meant to help more than just GRI members. It's the idea behind it is just to try to, cobble it together in something that's a little more usable and that people could use as kind of a pocket guide or something. So I don't know where we'll take it from there, but I hope it helps people because I know I was getting kind of desperate for something to be able to whip out and say, okay, here you go, and hopefully that'll work out. But anyway, on these paranormal shows, I was seeing all this. Hi, Wheel Dog. Welcome to our welcome to the chat room, and thank you for coming aboard. We are talking about these shows, and I look up this morning and I see an email in the good old Gmail account about Ghost Hunter Academy on 11/11. Now, tell me that's not timed for that. Somebody with a metaphysical awareness didn't figure that out. You know, 11:11, probably at 11 o'clock in the evening too. So they're going to do that. So they're going to have a Ghost Academy. And what I looked at that and I realized, gee, are they going to be, and I haven't checked this out yet, so if somebody knows this, the answer to this, you know, type it in the chat room. But does that mean that Ghost Hunters is going to start kind of winding down and these two guys are going to take over and run this academy thing? Yeah, and, Karen, and the reason I brought it up is Karen got me thinking about it in a letter today. So that's, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to Ghost Academy too. I mean, I know nothing about the paranormal. I'm just a, you know, a beginner. And, anyway, so we, the World War One ended. The World War One. Real Dog says the World War One ended on that day. Oh, on 11/11? I didn't know that. Well, I'll be darned. I learn something new every day. I'm going to remember that. Now, that'll stick in my head till the end of time. Thanks a lot, Real Dog. Anyway, I mean, Ghost Hunter, you know, Ghost Hunter Academy, so they're going to have this whole new crop of investigators being trained, and I guess they're treating it like a school. So that seems to be the premise behind it. So I'm hoping Ghost Hunters is not going to just go away. Maybe they're going to go on a more limited shooting schedule. And you can see kind of that you know, Jay and Grant were getting ready for that when they purchased that bed and breakfast thing that they had the GHI team out to investigate some, you know, last year. So I tend to think that there's going to be some changes over in the Ghost Hunters thing. And all I'm going to say is I'm a real fan of Ghost Hunters, and you know, I'm here right now talking to you because of them. I decided one day, well, hell, if they can do it, I can too. So, yeah, so, but Ghost Adventures Live, I taped that six-hour episode from October 30th when I was out investigating up at the Truckee Hotel with my crew, and I came back, and I'm about halfway through watching what happened there, and my mother watched it, and evidently there was one section of that where they had a guy with this big lightning machine thing, and it, evidently a lot of people had a lot to say about that. It was quite, it was I guess somewhat evident that this guy was faking some of the stuff going on, and it really kind of spoiled the rest of it because the rest of the people that were there, you know, for the various segments, were doing what I think to be pretty genuine stuff. So like Mark and Debbie Constantino, and I've had them on the show before, and, you know, Debbie is the real deal, and Mark, you know, they do good work. And I've been in the room when they've done EVP sessions and had stuff played back, and we were all watching, and it was, you know, things were coming in on EVP. She has a an enormous talent for bringing in spirits to talk to her. And best I've ever seen, and I'm, you know, if I'm 10% of what she does, I'm going to feel pretty good. But she is a very, very senior, experienced EVP expert, and I recommend to any of you guys that if you get the chance and have the chance to actually see her in person or just listen to her, you'll be the better for it for your EVP work. So definitely think about that. Ghost Labs, that's a new one. I am really liking that show. At first I thought I could be the dumb blonde. You're the smart one. You're what? Mike? Cowboy Bob? They picked them out like trying out for acting parts. Oh my God. I'm not sure what conversation's going on, but I'm not going to look at that anymore while I'm doing this show. Jeez, you guys are out of control over there in the chat room. Okay. Anyway, yeah, let's get back to Ghost Labs. You know, thanks, Kathy. Ghost Labs, I really like the show because what I'm seeing in their behavior, the way they're coming across in the show format, is that they are more geared to the technical side of, basically, I think the show is for paranormal investigators more than it is for anybody else. And I really liked that because every time I watch it, I come away with a new technique. And those two gentlemen that are running that team out of Texas, they have got a really neat setup. And not only that, I mean, they are very smart, and you really would do well to watch how they do things. Their ideas with taking drop recorders, for example, that's what we call them here at GRI, and putting them in set patterns and waiting for something to come back and walk through, and then looking at the timestamps and see if they could compare and show when an entity passed through an area. And sensors and a whole new, and using devices in new ways that you never thought about using before. So it was funny. I mean, I just saw the one here, the last show, where they talked about the Mississippi River being a source of paranormal, electricity. Actually, it was generating electrical current that was then beaming electricity straight up to a third floor of this mansion, where, oddly enough, when they did the sweep and did all the investigation, all the paranormal phenomena in this place were always on the third floor. And it was confirmed that, based on their evaluation and talking with physicists and people who knew hydrology and things like that, that they were would be able to detect this energy flowing up to the house. And sure enough, they did. And they proved where the power source is coming from. So, you know, and they keep on bringing up the fact that these haunts are often, there has to be a power source for these haunts. So I've found myself on investigations I've been on looking for power sources. What's powering this haunt? And so now, you know, that's going to become a regular part of our drill, is looking around saying, where's the power source coming from? Now, the house I was just in recently for this yesterday with this pre-investigation we did, I found what I believe might have been the power source. Now, I'm not going to reveal it on the air, but bottom line is it had me thinking, you know, could it be that this is it? So. But not only that, we did find that there had been a traumatic event there in that same space. So it's still up in the air on that one. But what I'm finding is there's actually physical power driving in this world, driving paranormal phenomena, or attracting it and giving it energy enough to manifest and go from there. So it's extremely interesting stuff what they're doing. I give them very, very high marks. Every show is just, I get my notebook out and I'm taking down ideas because they're just so good at what they do. So I have a feeling they're going to give Ghost Ghost Hunters and all the other shows a run for their money, because they're just so polished and professional in what they do. And they've got, but they have the one thing that I don't have the luxury of, which is just a huge team. Okay, now let's see. Extreme Paranormal is an abomination. Yeah, I that was the one I was trying to remember that. I saw that, and, that's a good point, Mike. When I saw that, what they were doing, they were actually combining occult ritual stuff that's really, dark. And they were bringing in, occult symbols, pentagrams, different sigils and different things that are used to call all sorts of not-so-nice things, let's just say that. And I just, I don't know, man. That draws the line for me. I am not going to do that on an investigation. I mean, there's just some things that are, you don't do. And the thing that I see these guys, these three guys running that show, I saw both, I taped both episodes and watched it, and it was impressive, the results they got, but the cost, I think, and the thing that scares me for them and for their safety is that they may get an attachment, especially that guy who's doing the blood rituals himself. He cut himself on the first episode, and then they set fires, and then they went crazy and did all this stuff with trying to recreate the traumatic events that took place in a prison. I'll tell you what, I just think that's going too far. It's just way, way too far. And not only that, some of the things they were doing, put people's lives in jeopardy, and that's just not good on an investigation at all. And I predict on one of these cases that it's going to be there's going to be a loss of life in one of these investigations, and we're going to hear about it on the news, and there's going to be a lot of rethinking of what's happening out there. So I don't know. Now, Kathy says, Kathy's saying, I agree. I'm surprised they haven't slammed upside a wall or knocked down stairs at all times. Karen is saying, yes, I always thought if there's more EMF-type energy that it would produce more activity. Well, that depends on, I think that depends on their intentions. Activity. See, that was another basic question I had, and I was going to save it up for next week, but I'll bring it up now. Just because there's paranormal activity doesn't necessarily mean it's violent. I mean, we see it all the time. I think that there's paranormal activity that is that can be gentle and even tender, if you will. And I've had experiences with those sorts of things, and you kind of go, what? they'll move something and it has meaning, and you suddenly realize what's being said to you by this spirit. Versus, being grabbed and thrown around or having something ugly manifest in front of you. I don't know. I don't know why they would want to upset ghosts. Yeah, I agree, Karen. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea to do that. I mean, as a matter of fact, I was on Kathy's show yesterday, and she brought up the question about us using provocation, and we absolutely forbid it. We will not do that, and it's just not good to do. It's like walking up to somebody that or somebody you don't know on the street, and just walking up and just, bashing them upside the head and saying, hey, man, I don't like you, and just start to cuss them out. I mean, if I was a ghost and somebody did that to me in the living, I would be really ticked off. And the one I did it to, as I said yesterday on the show, Kathy, is like, this guy, he was a miner over in Coloma in the 1850s, and he goes, I'll find you on the EVP, and that was enough for me. I went back and apologized. I felt so bad, and I just didn't want to tick this guy off, and it wasn't out of fear. It was just I felt really bad, and I went and manned up and apologized. So what can I say? It was just but I really think these guys that are doing that show, Extreme Paranormal, man, they are playing with fire. So, hey, I'm going to take a break here for a couple of minutes. We'll go ahead and play some music and come back. And with that, we'll kind of wind things up for the end of the show. Let's see what we can find here that's good music. We'll do a little Halo mix, and then I'll break out after about 3 minutes if it's still running. So, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we'll be back in 3 minutes, and I'll talk with a few of you in the chat room here while the break is going, and we'll be back in a short time. Okay, we're back, and I was just paying attention to Karen in the chat room, and Kathy were talking here, and Will Dog, hey, you're still here, my friend. Karen is saying, I recently heard two women, I forget their names, but they were trying to help ghosts over so that they didn't, and the ghosts were saying they didn't like investigators because they just go stir things up and leave them hanging when a lot of ghosts just want help. And Kathy was saying, yeah, I agree, Karen. And what's funny is, I was going to bring it up later in the show, but I'll just go ahead and scroll down to that part here. And we had just done some, we've been doing quite a few cases lately, and we've suddenly, for some, whatever reason, we usually do outdoor cases, and suddenly out of the blue we're getting all these home cases, and I got a call from my my number two, Michelle, and she let me know about a case where we had in Sacramento that had basically, it was a family was reporting all sorts of phenomena occurring in the house, and they wanted our help. So we went ahead and got a team together and went on in there October 24th. And what ended up happening was we were not, I won't reveal everything because I'm not going to, you know, reveal any names or anything, but the overall gist of it was that when we did the case interview and started finding out what was going on, we kept getting like the feeling like it was like evasive. And I had Renee Martin with me, and you know, I'm psychic myself, and I kept getting this weird feeling, and I looked at her and she looked at me, and I'm like, you know. And so I called the team together, and we were hunting around, and not a lot was happening, and we weren't getting a lot of readings on instrumentation, nothing much there. The feelings were not there, except for one room in particular where there was some strange vibes when you walked in. Had to do with a mirror. And when we walked back in the garage, and I did a session. We were doing EVPs in the garage. Now, the garage had some strange things in it. There were a lot of very strange scrawled writings in the garage that were almost like somebody, a lunatic, would write on two walls. And then one window was actually covered over with plywood. And Michelle and me were noting that if somebody didn't want to remain on the planet for long, that's the perfect place to thing to do if you were going to lock a car in there and then take your own life. So we were really worried about what was going on in there and what we weren't being told. So we sat down and talked, and we did this a couple of times, and I finally went back in, and we really started, you know, putting the pressure on the client to talk more. And we found out that somebody who wasn't quite a relative but was as close to being a relative as you could imagine had indeed passed just before the start of all the activity. And what we found was that it had become a taboo subject to discuss. So here it was, this person had died, basically had nobody mourning his death, and when he had no place else to go but these people who cared about him, and they weren't talking about it. And so all these strange phenomena were going on, and we got to the bottom of it after several hours. And we did find there were other spirits in the house, and there were some other voices that were coming through. But primarily, I think the thing that we solved, though, is we took the ovulus out, and I own an ovulus, so I pulled that out, and we did some work, and immediately some of the things being said by the ovulus resonated with these two clients, especially the names being spoken. And there was something else to see, because these two women were crying, and I was just sitting there just stunned at what had just happened. I had never had that happen on an investigation, but it suddenly occurred to me that I really liked where this was going, that we were actually solving and making people feel better, and they came and thanked us profusely for helping them realize what was going on. So we're going to be finishing our evidence analysis because we've been doing so much. We're going to wrap it all up, and probably me and Michelle will drive out there and see them and do our reveal, and then also test to see, you know, how things are going for them. But the place felt a little bit better when we left. I don't know what it was, but I think we did a good thing, you know, and that's the kind of thing that you hope in a paranormal investigation that does happen when you, you know, you go out there. You're hopefully helping people. There's a good point to bring up about some groups just go in and stir it up, and I never really wanted GRI just to be a thing that we would go out and just do the case and leave and never be heard from again. And a matter of fact, I mean, all our cases remain open. So when we do a case, we keep it in the books and we got it on the file, and then every so often we're going to pull it up and go look, unless it's a hot thing, and then we're going to go back. So, yeah, exactly. It gives it more meaning, Karen. Now, I'll just go ahead and, you know, jump into some of the cases we did afterwards. We did, on October 30th, I drove up to the Truckee Hotel. Now, Renee had basically worked a thing up there with the hotel owner, and realized that she had just basically started hooking up with us then. And we decided, she asked me to come up with the team. So I was basically, everybody else couldn't go except me. So I went up there and I talked with the owner, and he wanted me up there. So I brought the gear that I thought we would need. And then I hooked up with a videographer by the name of Tim. And he, and him, me, and Renee did the investigation, and we had two guest investigators who showed up who lived in the area who were just absolutely newbies, but they were really great. They did a great job. And it was very strange up there. Truckee is a very haunted town. Oh, Karen, wish I could have gone, but had to work. Bless your heart. Kathy said, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So, the bottom line is we did another case. This is another case of where I think we're going, because we actually, I think, helped someone. One of the things we have been doing is we've been doing clearings. And I'm not doing ceremonial clearings. I'm doing information dumps and telling spirits how to get themselves out of this. If they want, that's what they want. That way I'm not commanding them. They've got a choice in where they're at and what they're going to do. I just give them the information. And I read some interesting books a while back, and one was called When Ghosts Speak. And Marianne Winkowski, I think the name is, has an interesting technique there where she talks about being able to take and help spirits cross herself, where she can make light. And she had that ability. She's Italian, and she's very good at it. And she was born with that ability. But what was very interesting was she brought up, by the way, you know, I don't have to do that. If spirit doesn't want to go, I'll tell them how to go without my help. I just direct them down to the nearest funeral home and tell them to wait for somebody's funeral, and you can hop right on their light. And it made so much sense. It was just like, it was almost too simple. So, you know, we basically, when we were up there on the 30th, on the third floor or fourth floor, we went into a bathroom where there was a bathtub. And the minute I walked in, I got physically ill. And the same with Renee. And she had been in there before. She knew what was going to come out. But I walked by it. She didn't tell me where this was. And I walked by and immediately stopped. I felt this energy, and I spun around and looked at this room, and when I walked in, I just about doubled over, and everybody who went in there got sick. And so I stayed in there, and we did an EVP session. How do you make light? I'll tell you what, I can actually send you something on that, Karen. It's basically to do with a meditation type thing, and this woman had the ability to make that light, and she could see spirits, so she was able to do that. But evidently all of us could do this. We can make the light, but I will find that for you. But you know, Kathy, but what the problem was, a lot of these spirits, they were they didn't have the ability to do that, and it was a faster way to get them to the light sometimes, just to get them to go see light that was just fresh. That's the best I can explain is they just died and they were waiting to take the ride up, or out or wherever they go. So, but anyway, we were in the Truckee Hotel, and I'm doing EVP in there, and I kept sensing. I was told that there was a little girl that had been killed in there by a man way, way back, and there had been a lot of death in this hotel, including one of my relatives who had actually been nearly killed there. She was shot by a shotgun in there, of all things. But this little girl was strangled to death in this tub by a crazy person, a crazy man. And she had never left. She was still there, and she was terrified. And we were both sensing her. I was just getting this horrible just sense of this little girl trapped there. And I kind of just, stood there, and Renee was just standing there in shock, because, this guy, she kept feeling this guy around, and he was really mad, evidently he was still there too. But the two girls that were with us, they were also psychic. One was like in her 30s, and the other was, 40-something. Terms and girls. Anyway, two women. But they were both aware. And the one actually she could actually see the little girl and actually was able to tell me what was going on with her. So I actually spoke to the little girl and told her how to get out of this. And there was a funeral home right down the street. So she basically could see this other woman was aware of what the spirit woman was aware of what was going on and was able to get them together and to get her out of this. So we actually cleared that little girl out of there and got her away from this this guy who was in there. And I don't think he was any too happy with us. So that was interesting, and we felt really good. But what was strange is that there was a lot of activity that night in our room. I was in a room. We had Tim was in the same room as me, and he had his section, and I was over on the queen bed, just facing out towards the fire escape. And suddenly I woke up in the night, and I'm hearing rattling, and then I heard somebody like walking around in our room. And I found out that there would have been all sorts of activity reported in that room in the past, but this sounded like somebody pacing and somebody just was there. And I didn't hear any voices or anything like that, didn't wake up to any of that, but rattling and walking, and I kept waking up and I kept feeling like somebody was there. I'd sit up and look and no one was there. But we're going back there actually November 21st. We're going to be going up there. The owner has invited us back. He wants us there when the fewer people are there, so we can really have be able to do our job better. So he's actually wanting us to do multiple investigations before we really come to a conclusion about what we're seeing there. So there was a lot in that case that was interesting. But what I like is back to back, we had two cases that we actually helped someone. And that's kind of new for us, so we're hoping we continue to do that and are able to, just carry it forward. Now, the other thing, let me see here, let me scroll, my notes just went nuts on me here. Scrolling. We are going to be, on the 28th, again, we're going to be doing an investigation out north of Roseville, California. And we did that thing yesterday. Oh, 33 Live and 19 Archives for your show. You say, hey, cool. Thank you. And we basically noted something when we were out there, and I'm going to be researching more of this, but that case we did yesterday out there, all through the northern part of Roseville and on out towards Marysville, are a lot of old Indian hunting grounds and Indian burial grounds. And we I'm beginning to think that some of these home developments are sitting right on top of some of this stuff, and that there may be burial activity or burial grounds that is stimulating this activity. And what we found was when I visited the location, the builder had run out of money about 2007, 2008 time frame, and had not finished the rest of the neighborhood. And there was all these sections of the neighborhood kind of ripped up, but nothing was there. And next door to the home that in question, it was an empty lot. And then you look up to the hills, and there's all these surrounding hills that are of granite. And then a creek runs right through nearby. And I just got looking, going, you know, I'm getting this feeling that there's an Indian thing here. And Michelle felt the same way. So we're thinking that there's definitely an Indian thing going on here. Mixed in with some family stuff going on too, based on some of the evidence that we had been presented with when we got in there to do the investigation. So I'm finding out a lot of these cases are layered like a cake. I mean, you go in there and there's something's happened, and then now you had another event happen, and a third thing happened, and suddenly you get a haunt. So we're going to be paying particular attention to this case and see where this goes, and I don't think we're going to solve it on the first try. And we're coming near the end of the show, and I'm going to basically thank everybody for being on for number one. Kathy, I love you. You did a great job. And Karen, hey, good to have you on. And hi, Greenie, good to see you there. Now, I got back October 31st, and was pretty tired from the drive. It was a long drive to get home, and we got the car unpacked, and that night it was Halloween, and I was getting all fixed up for just sitting around. It was not going to be. I was too tired to even consider going out and doing any partying or anything like that. So I got talking to my mother, and we have a haunt here on the ranch where we have a woman that's buried on the north side of the property that we know she's there because we've EVP'd and we've basically been able to prove that there's a that she's there, and it's also stimulated other activity. And so what happened was I decided to try something new. We took my mother joined me, and we went out there with flashlights, and our intrepid cat followed us. And we went out there, and I had EVP recorders, I had EMF, two EMF, and I brought the EM pump with me. And I'd never tried that before out on an external investigation, but I have an EM pump, which is you've probably seen those on Ghost Adventures, and I am now in possession of one. And we took that out there, and I put it right over her particular grave, and I turned it on. What was interesting was we stayed there about 15 minutes, didn't stay an awful long time, and just told her our intention was to come back and clean that up soon, sometime in the next month, 2-3 months. We're going to actually go out there and work that and turn that into a little marker for her, because I think she was murdered there, to be very honest, back in the 1800s. So we think that that's a site where this woman was basically just dumped. So we've always had strange stuff happening out there and shadows, and just, I've had this full apparition here in the house I'm in right now. 10 feet in front of me. That was 17 years ago. But what we noticed was that we had, at about 5 minutes in, we had a sudden large bang on the fence, like something came up and slammed the fence right in front of us, and I just about jumped out of my shoes. And then we heard voices off to the east, which was directly in front of us, or actually to the west, that was directly in front of us, and it was really interesting. I mean, I thought, well, maybe it's some kids out there partying for Halloween, and then you realize who would be out in the middle of a fenced forest out there. No one would be there, and there's no way they could get in easily. So we had a lot of stuff happening, and you felt like something was there. So when I ran the EVPs, we did get some strange EVPs, and we were threatened in the EVPs by a couple of guys, but that's not the end of it. We ended up, I said goodbye to Mom, went to my place. said I'd analyze the evidence. And as we were moving out, I saw a shadow dart around the left of us. I was farther to the left than my mother, and there was a tree, a fig tree we have. It's just sort of a volunteer growing up in the middle of our field. And this thing ran around that tree, and it was 30 feet from me. And I turned immediately and went to it and called out to my mother and said, "Shadow, luminous, moving 30 feet." We ran to it, and there was nothing there. So we finally booked on back, and I grabbed all the recorders and everything, and we decided to call it a night. 1 o'clock in the morning, my mother wakes up at her ranch house, and she heard men's voices arguing loudly on the west side of the house. And she got up and went out and checked, and she actually went outside, which was pretty courageous, and walked out there. And our property is fenced, so you know, somebody would have had to come in through the front gate. There was nobody there, and every time she'd walk to the voices, they'd go farther away. And finally she realized, you know, maybe this is paranormal. So she waited a couple of days to tell me this. In the meantime, since then, in the past week, for several days, I've woken up at 2 and 3 in the morning for 3 days in a row to voices outside or inside my home. And finally, last night, I'd had enough. I just grabbed the sage and said, "That's it." And I saged the house and had a really quiet night last night. So I don't know. I mean, these guys were, but yeah, you're right, Kathy. It could have been residual, but every time it happens, when we do any work out there with EVP, it's strange. I mean, it just seems to kickstart it. So I don't know what to make of it. Yeah, could be. But I'll tell you what, we're gonna help that woman because she actually told us we were right on top of her grave at one point with an EVP. Session we did earlier in the year, so we're going to definitely take care of her. I'd like to find out her name and you know, do something nice for her, so we're going to do that. But hey, we're coming to the end of the show, and I'm just going to do a quick final observation. A lot of media are paying attention to this 2012 thing, and we've actually got a possible guest coming in to talk about it. And I just wanted to say I'm seeing a lot of fear and a lot of sometimes occasionally positive stories that talk about the changes that are coming. And I don't know what to make about all of it, but I'll tell you, I don't know what you guys feel, but every time I turn around, I feel like something big's happening and I can't quite grasp it. And it's so big that, I find myself thinking about it a lot. I don't know why, but I'm really getting that sense that something's up. And, yeah, you could be right, Kathy. I mean, it's just, I don't know why, but my radar's up, you know. And maybe it's the media thing. Maybe it's just, you know, whatever. But what I decided was, I'm not going to let it rule my life, so I'm saying basically it's just one of those things that I think that if you can control your reaction to it, do so. We're coming up really, really fast on the end of things, so I want to thank everybody for being here. But think about that. Think about the 2012, and think about your reaction to it, and that you are in charge of your reaction to it. And I myself, I'm going to stick with optimism and that this is going to be a good thing for us. So next week, we're going to have Laura Ketch, paranormal author and accidental psychic, and that's true, accidental psychic. We're going to say goodbye to everybody. We got Kathy, I love you, you're just a sweetheart, and you're my Kathy. And we got Karen from Arizona, and she's in somewhere south of Arizona, somewhere in Arizona, okay. And then we have Greeny. Hello, Greeny. Good to have you aboard. And then there's this GRI Paranormal Guide that's on the air right now. So, hey, we're going to go ahead and wind it down. 9:29, and we should be going off the air momentarily. So I'll see if I can play a song. And, hey, thank you all for being here. And this is GRI signing off.